This is Mobsters, Inc., episode number 4, who was Vincent DiNapoli. Vincent DiNapoli was born on June 21st, 1937. He was a New York mobster and a captain in the Genovese crime family, involved in labor racketeering. DiNapoli is best known for creating a cartel in the 1970s that controlled the price of drywall in New York City. Growing up in East Harlem section of Manhattan during the 1950s, DiNapoli was originally associated with the Lucchese crime family. He later switched to the Genovese crime family and became an associate of soldier Vincent Fish Cafaro, front boss Anthony Fat Tony Solano's top lieutenant. DiNapoli's older brother Joseph was allegedly a captain in the Lucchese crime family. DiNapoli dominated the New York City District Council of Carpenters through his ally, Teddy Maritas. In 1981, DiNapoli, his brother Louis, and Maritas were indicted on labor racketeering and extortion charges in a Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act indictment. DiNapoli allegedly became worried that Maritas might cooperate with the law enforcement and receive approval from the Genovese crime family hierarchy to kill him. In 1982, Maritas disappeared before the trial was scheduled to start. After Cafaro became a government witness, he claimed that DiNapoli murdered Maritas. Later in 1982, DiNapoli pleaded guilty to lesser charges. He was sent to prison for 5 years. While in prison, his union rackets were managed by his brother Louis and Louis Muscatello. DiNapoli later became close to the next district council president, Pascal McGinnis, and two men continued to enforce a mob tax on all drywall construction in New York City. In 1978, DiNapoli established the operator Plasterers and Cement Masons International Association, Local 530, and designated Muscatello as business manager. DiNapoli also controlled the Carpenters Local 257 through his associates Attilio Bitondo and Eugene Hanley. DiNapoli used their position to extort carpenters through his associates on the east side of Manhattan. DiNapoli would again be convicted and sentenced in prison. His interest in the district council would be absorbed by a close associate, Liborio Balomo. DiNapoli did not hesitate to use fear to keep the rackets in check. DiNapoli was suspected of ordering the slaying of Danny Evangelista, a dissident union leader from Local 385. Evangelista was shot to death while sitting at his desk in the local. DiNapoli also allegedly gave the order to firebomb the home of another. DiNapoli secretly owned interests in dozens of construction companies, real estate properties, and housing developments. DiNapoli and Tony Solano were the key figures representing the Genovese family in the concrete industry. Along with close associate Edward Biff Halloran, the men grossed millions of dollars, enough for Forbes magazine to place both Solano and DiNapoli on the list on the top 10 richest mobsters in the nation. DiNapoli secretly owned Cambridge Drywall and Inner City Drywall, which became one of the biggest developers in Harlem and the South Bronx, and received $32 million in city contracts in 1988 alone. In the early 1980s, DiNapoli became enraged when he lost out on a contractor who made a deal with the Gambino boss Paul Castellano. The contractor, Frederick DeMatteis, became one of Long Island's biggest developers. A conversation between members of the Concrete Club indicated that Castellano prevailed and kept DeMatteis as his partner. Tony Solano. Metro is Paul's, right? Neil Migliore, Metro Paul's. Christopher Fenari, it's Paul's. DiNapoli had no choice but to accept the ruling from his superiors. the Napoli and Salerno, and mob associate Nicholas Oletta also owned the old Glen Island Casino in Novichelle, New York. The Napoli owned Ilba's Shadow, a Bronx restaurant. During his time in the Bronx, actor Burt Young operated a restaurant in 1992. Investigators learned that the Napoli and Lucrezia Capo, Stephen Crea, co-owned the valuable housing development in Yonkers, New York. In March 1986, the Napoli and other Genovese crime family members are indicted for labor racketeering, construction bid rigging, extortion, illegal gambling, and murder conspiracy. The indictment alleged that the Napoli and his associates had cost real estate developers millions of dollars due to mob control over the concrete companies and subsequent bid rigging. While they awaited trial, Cofaro struck a deal with the federal prosecutors and became a government witness. In 1988, the Napoli was convicted and sentenced to prison. On June 28, 1981, Appeals Court in New York reversed the convictions of the Napoli and the other mobsters and ordered a new trial. The Napoli died in 2005 at the age of 68. Vinnie the Napoli was the king of drywall in New York City. He was a very influential man. He was the top captain in the Genovese crime family with the 116th Street crew. And he was a very wealthy, businesslike, and well-respected man. Salute. And this is Patty Pontiac. And we'll be talking next week, Mobsters, Inc. Have a good day.